to 5. We're going to look at verses 6 through 10 today. I'm excited about God's word today. And one of the things that I'm excited that we're in is this new sermon series, or the sermon series that we've been in for the past 2 weeks, called Winning the War in Your Mind. And I pray that this sermon series has been helpful, it's been encouraging, and that it's been insightful. And one of the things that I know that we don't always get the opportunity to do is to unpack so much that we may want to on a Sunday morning, because we have two services and our time may be a little bit limited. But what we're doing for these next two Wednesdays is we're going to be having a special midweek experience this Wednesday and next Wednesday from 6:30 to about 7:45, 8, where we're just going to be unpacking God's word a little bit more. So I want to invite all of y'all. Y'all be here on Wednesday night so we can go deeper in God's word. Because this stuff that I'll be wanting to preach on Sunday, but I don't have all the time to unpack it. And so Wednesday gives us more space to be able to unpack more of God's word. It also is the space for you to be able to ask questions. And I love that because it's interactive in nature. And so I want to invite y'all to come back through this coming up Wednesday and next Wednesday for these next few weeks, because next Sunday we're actually going to end this sermon series. And as we end the sermon series, I believe that next week's message might be the most consequential message that we all need to hear. It is a message that I believe it is going to speak to people of all ages, people of all backgrounds, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, no matter where you are in life. I believe that next week's message, as we end this sermon series, is going to be powerful. And so what I need all of us to do is between this Sunday and next Sunday, I want y'all to go grab one of these invite cards in the lobby area. If you're watching online, you just need to make sure you send a digital invite on our social to somebody. But I want us to go grab one of these cards and invite as many people as we can to church next Sunday, because I believe that next Sunday can be a game changer. This whole series, I believe, has been helpful, but next Sunday, we're going to end this sermon series in a strong way. So I want you to invite as many people as you can. Invite the coworker, invite the family member, invite the friend. It is going to be the perfect opportunity. And if you need a little bit of bait to invite them in, let them know that we're giving out free food next week after service for our newcomers connection. And so if they love free food, they can hang around a little bit after service. Jesus said we're called to be fishers of men. And with different fish, you got to use different bait. And so for some, free food might do it. But I would encourage us all to invite those that are close to us next week as we continue on in this sermon series. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 is where we're going to spend some time today. And a few dates that I want to just make us aware of that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks as well. Two big things that are coming up. We're having our student promotional celebration, where we're going to be celebrating all of our young people, from the youngest to the oldest, who are going on to the next grade, graduating this year, being promoted from one grade level to the next. We're going to be doing that on Friday, June the 9th, and it is always an incredible time. We'll have more information about that, but I wanted to mention that so y'all can get that on your calendar. But then also the following week, June 16th, Friday night, June 16th, we are having men's night for all the fellas. Fellas, y'all make some noise. Come on, fellas. Well, we can hear y'all. Y'all to come on, don't leave me hanging. But Friday, June 16th, it's gonna be good, and so we can't wait. It's gonna be free food. We're gonna have worship here. We're gonna have some impartation, some encouragement. We're gonna be giving out free haircuts for all the guys as well. And it's an event that's not just for older men, young adult men, but it's also for our young people as well. And so anybody who is a man, a young man, we want them to be a part of that. And we'll talk more about that in the next few weeks as well. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It's a powerful passage of scripture today that I believe is going to help all of us. Here's what it says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. I want to go back to verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. I believe today's message is going to be one that changes and transforms our lives. If you're watching online, share the stream. Y'all in here, y'all need to text somebody, tell them to watch right now. But I need y'all to help me tell your neighbor my sermon title today. I need you to find somebody right quick and tell them, neighbor. That's the wrong person. They ain't participate. Find somebody else. Say, neighbor, I'm not stressing over this. Come on, find somebody else. Yell it across the room. Say, I'm not stressing over this. Type it in the chat. I'm not stressing over this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for inviting us into your presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the word that you are going to speak. I pray that our hearts would be open, and as our hearts are open, Father, that you would deposit your word on the inside of us. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You could be seated. I'm not stressing over this. Depending on where you're from, I ain't stressing this. Not stressing over this. Church family, I recently discovered that World Health Organization defines stress as a state of worry or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. It is a state of worry or mental, everybody say mental, or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. The American Institute of Stress gives these different statistics pertaining to stress that I found to be very, not just helpful, but almost very alarming. They say this, that 55% of people are stressed each day. 55% of people are stressed each day. In other words, at least half of us in here and online are stressed right now. Then they found that 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. In another study, they found that another 73% of people experience stress that impacts their mental health. In another study, they also found that 48% of people have trouble sleeping because of stress. Some of you are here today, under the sound of my voice, and you came here today stressed. You're watching online, and you are stressed. Studies have even shown that stress can be linked to high blood pressure, and it could be linked to diabetes and heart disease and even depression. Stress is something that impacts our bodies, and it also impacts our minds. And I got some good news about stress, but I also got some bad news about stress. And I want to first give you some sobering but bad news about stress. Stress ain't going anywhere. It's here to stay. Stress is going to be something that you and I find ourselves dealing with on a regular basis. Jesus says in John 16:33 that in this life and in this world, you will have much trouble. In other words, there are going to be many things in your life and in mine that bring pressure and stress to our minds, to our hearts, to our soul. So all of us, myself included, will experience stress of all kinds. So the question isn't whether we will have stress, but the bigger question is whether stress will have us. I'm going to say it one more time. The question is not whether we will have stress. The question is, will stress have us? The question is not whether you and I will encounter stress. The question is, what will you and I do when we encounter stress? What will you and I counter stress when it comes against us? Because it's coming. Somebody say it's coming. It's coming. Some of us are here right now, and you're stressed about a variety of different things. It took so much for you just to get here this morning to watch online, because there's so much right now that you are feeling. You're feeling the weight of different things right now. You're stressed, and it brings us to 1 Peter chapter 5, because in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter, the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' early and first the apostles and disciples, if you will, he's writing to a group of people who are stressed. They are facing pressure of all kinds. They're dealing with the pressure of persecution, being persecuted for their faith. They've had to contend with family members and other believers that they know losing their lives because of their faith, facing ostracization because of their faith, facing ridicule because of their faith, losing family members who were executed because of their faith, losing close ones and friends who were destroyed because of their faith at the hands of other people. They're experiencing all different types of suffering and stress and pressure in their lives. They're overwhelmed. They're living under the pressure of what will happen to their families. They're living with the pressure and stress of what will come of their lives. They're dealing with these thoughts possibly of, will they live a long life or will their life be cut short like others that they know who have been beheaded or have been sawed in two because of their faith. They are under amounts of stress. And while you and I may not be able to identify with some of the literal things that they were dealing with in the form of losing their lives because of their faith, I believe that all of us can still relate to them in terms of the pressures that come in life, the stress that we feel in life. Because just as they felt overwhelmed at times, which is why Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this portion of the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 to encourage them, just as they felt overwhelmed, I believe all of us in here at times, and some of us are here right now, and we feel overwhelmed. We feel overwhelmed. We feel overextended. We feel overworked. There is so much that we are contending with. There is so much that's on our minds. On the minds of our young people, whether I'm going to pass the SOL or not pass the SOL, whether I'm going to have good grades or not, whether I'm going to pass this test or not. Some of us are stressed right now because of the opinions of people, and we're stressed about how people will look at us and how people will perceive us. Some of us are stressed because of the bills that are beginning to pile up in your life and how you're finding and getting bills that are coming out of nowhere that you didn't even know existed. Some of us are stressing right now because of decisions that we got to make, and we've been kicking the can down the road, if you will, because we haven't been wanting to make that decision, but we're stressed and we're dealing with the difficulty of it, and we're stressed maybe because of deadlines at work and all these standards and all these expectations that are being placed on us, and expectations from the job and expectations from a family member, expectations from a friend, and many of us in here, we're stressed and there's so much on our mind. It's causing us to feel overwhelmed. The last few weeks in this sermon series, well, we've been talking about how to fight back against fear. And last week, we talked about how to wage war against worry. But today, I want to talk to not the fearful mind or the worrisome or anxious mind. I want to talk to the stressful mind. The stressed mind. I did this in the first service, and the first service participated, so I'm hoping y'all won't leave me hanging. But I believe that church should be the safest place to have the most difficult conversations. So if we could be honest and transparent, how many, just by showing hands in here, how many of y'all are stressed? Just by showing hands, you're stressed right now. Come on, put it online. Put a little hand raise emoji in the chat if you're stressed right now. Stressed. Come on, if you really stressed like me sometimes, put up both hands. Like, Lord, I've got both hands up. I got feet, everything. I'm stressed. People at my job driving me crazy. People in my house driving me crazy. Things around me just driving me crazy. And I'm stressed and I can't think straight and I can't function straight. And there's so much on my mind. I can't think straight because I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about how this guy has to get done. Some of y'all are stressed right now and it's hard for you to even focus on the message right now because you're thinking about how you got to get this done by tomorrow. And you got to think about getting meals ready for the week. And you got to think about getting the kids ready for school this week. And you got all these different things. And then you had a flat tire. And then all of a sudden your computer crashed and your tablet crashed. And all of a sudden your phone started freezing up and you're just stressed. Just stressed. Somebody say, I'm stressed. Come on, name it. I'm stressed. I'm stressed right now, Pastor. I'm going to just keep it 1,000 with you, bro. I'm stressed right now. And so your mind is constantly running, and it's leaving you tired and exhausted, and your mind can't focus on one thing because you're thinking about all these different, many different types of things. Many of us in here, and even people around us that we know, people are stressed. If the statistics are true, which is about 50% of all people are stressed, that means 1 in 2 people are stressed. That means if you got 10 friends, at least half of them are stressed right now. I heard a quote floating around a few years ago that said, you need to check on your strong friends. Because even your strong friends get stressed sometimes and feel the weight of the world at times. And many of us right now, we're stressed and we're overwhelmed. And can I help you understand one of the things that oftentimes happens when we're overwhelmed? I want you to write this down. When we're overwhelmed, we often overreact. When we're overwhelmed, we oftentimes overreact to the things that are going on. So in other words, here's what I mean by that. We go past doing the right thing and we end up doing the wrong thing. When we're stressed, we say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. We go places that we shouldn't go. One person said it like this, that it's not stress that kills us, it's our reaction to it. It's not the stress that comes, it's how we respond to it. It's how we react to it. So we end up doing things that we shouldn't do. We end up going places that we shouldn't go. And all of us are going to get hit with stress. And all of us, at times, myself included, we're going to feel the weight of stress because it affects us in different ways. And what happens is we'll try to find coping mechanisms to deal with the stress. So some people eat it away. Y'all have heard stress eating. Some people will stress and try to drink it away. Some will try to smoke it away. Some will try to shop it away. I'm so stressed, I'm going to spend $1,000 at the mall. Stressed. Not realizing that that $1,000 that you don't have, that you had to put on a credit card that you can't afford to pay, is going to cause you more stress. But I got to shop because I'm stressed. And some people, their response is to do more work and to work the extra hours because they're so stressed. So we overwork ourselves. All of us have a proclivity to respond to stress in a certain way. Some may be good, but more often than not, they are unhealthy, they are toxic, and sometimes downright sinful. Because when we're stressed, here's what we're looking for, relief. It's pressure that's building up, and we're looking for a way out. We're looking for something to bring us some peace. We're looking for something to make it easy on our minds. And many of us are so stressed right now. Your mind is stressed. There's so much there. You have a constant headache. It's affecting you physically. Your blood pressure has been raising. You haven't been able to sleep, and you can't even function. It's hard for you to even sit still. Your legs are always shaking, or your hands are always moving. Things of this nature, because stress is beginning to build up. Some of us are there right now. And I'm here to let you know that if you're there right now and you feel stressed and you feel overwhelmed and you feel overextended, I'm here to let you know that in the midst of what looks to be bad news, God, through his scripture, gives us some good news. That even in the midst of you being stressed, there is a way to handle it the right way. And when we feel overwhelmed and stressed in our minds, I want you to see this invitation that Peter gives to the believers who found themselves under pressure, under stress, being persecuted, weighed down by everything. Here's what he says, y'all, and it's crazy. You ready for it? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. In the words of the great prophet Kendrick Lamar, sit down, be humble. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does humble mean? It means to lower myself. It means to get under, and not just to get under, but Peter says, get under the mighty hand of God. It means to surrender control to God. To humble myself, I want you to write this down. To humble myself before God, it means to bring myself under the lordship, the leadership, and the love of God. It says that God, I am submitting myself to you. And it's interesting that Peter would use this language, under the mighty hand of God. Because if you do any type of a cursory study of this language here, you will recognize and quickly find that this is actually Old Testament language being repeated here in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, when Peter uses this word, mighty hand of God, that was also a phrase used to describe how God set his people free from Pharaoh in Egypt back in the book of Exodus. So here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8. Then the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, with terrifying power and with signs and wonders. So why is Peter saying, Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I believe because he wants us to see this very simple truth that we see all throughout Scripture. Just as God's hand was mighty to deliver then, his hand will be mighty to deliver you now. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. In other words, if God was faithful to set his people free from the oppression that they were facing back in Egypt under an oppressive leader by the name of Pharaoh, where they were having to do crazy slave, crazy things back then, if God set them free and delivered them through the Red Sea by splitting it in half and by sending bread from heaven and by creating things that nobody ever heard of, if he did it back then, Peter is saying he can do it now. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And why is this so important? Because what the enemy does is he convinces us that we can handle things on our own. But Peter says, be humble. And many times, and I'm speaking from experience, the reason why stress gets the better of us is because we think that we can handle it on our own. We think we can handle it, but in all actuality, it's handling us. Can I give you this word of encouragement? The thing that you're stressing about right now is actually an indicator that you can't handle it on your own. Because if you can handle it on your own, you wouldn't be stressing about it. The stress that you have about the situation that you're in, it is an indicator that you in and of yourself do not have what it takes to handle this problem. Which is why Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And at the proper time, he will exalt you. The good news, family, is that when we feel pressure building up and stress building up, when we feel stress, God is inviting us to trust in him. Let me say it like this. If you find yourself under stress, it's an invitation to get under God. If you find yourself under enormous amounts of stress, I don't know why I'm clapping to this beat and saying it like this. But if you find yourself under stress, it is an invitation to get under God. And oftentimes, the reason why oftentimes we stress so much is because instead of getting under God, we're trying to be above God. You trying to handle it when God is saying, put it under me. And Peter says, the thing that you're stressed about right now, it is actually an invitation to get under God. So if you feel yourself under enormous amounts of pressure and stress right now, it is an invitation to get under him. It is an invitation to come to him. It is an invitation, let me say it like this, to rely on him. Why? Because God has shown that he is good for it. What do I mean by good for it? It is he has shown countlessly through scripture from Genesis to Revelation that he is able to be trusted in the times of stress the most. That God always pulls up when pressure shows up. That when pressure pulls up, so does God. That when stress pulls up, so does God. When difficulty shows up, so does God. When hardship shows up, so does God. It does not matter what it is that you're facing, God will show up. And if he provided before, he'll do it again. If he set people free before, he can do it for you right now. If he brought peace to people before, he can do it again. And the good news, family, is that when stress shows up, we have a God who will show up as well. I thank God that God is not absent when pressure is present. That we got a God that we can lean on and that we can depend on and that we can trust in when the stresses of life begin to mount up and when the pressures of life begin to pull up. We have a faithful God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We got a faithful God who we can count on. We got a faithful God that we can trust in. We got a faithful God, here's what I'm saying, that we can rely on. We got a faithful God that we can trust in. This is what it means to humble ourselves under God. Here's what Peter's ultimately saying. Rely on God. Rely on God. Do you know how many scriptures throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament talk about trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God? It's like a broken record. Trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God. Why would he have to continue to say that? Because people have a proclivity, you and me, to trust in ourselves and not him. Trust in the Lord with all your strength, lean with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will make your path straight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff are with me. He's with me. Trust in him. There's this constant admonition and invitation from God throughout the scriptures to trust in him and to rely on him. But y'all, let's be honest. We don't do that. I'm going to trust myself. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do me. And doing you will get you a heart attack. Doing you will lead to panic attacks. Doing you, doing me, will lead to stress attacks. Doing you, doing me, will cause us to be in a place where God does not want us to be. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, which means I got to tap into him. I got to lean on him. I got to trust on him. I got to rely on him. I can't do it in my own strength. I got to trust in him. When I lean on him, that positions me to begin to be able to experience the promise of this abundant life. But he's saying, I need you to trust and rely on me. Rely on me. Trust in me. So I want to break this down. What does it mean to rely on God? As we see what Peter says here, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Here's what he says in verse 7. Casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Here's what we're seeing here. We're seeing God's strategy for stress. That's the first point I'm going to give you. Rely on his strategy. Rely on God's strategy. Here's what Peter is not oblivious to what everybody's going through. He's going through some of it as well. But notice what he says. Humble yourself and cast your cares, your worries. We talked about that last week. Your anxieties, your fears, the things that are on your mind. Cast it on him. You know what this word cast means? It means to cause responsibility for something to be upon someone. It means to put the responsibility on something or on someone. In other words, Peter is saying here, put the responsibility on God to handle what you're stressed about. Put it on him. Give it to him. You know what this word also means? This word cast, it means to throw. It means to throw. A few weeks ago, I preached a message called I Declare War, and we talked about 2 Corinthians 10, where it says, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. We take captive. It means to take it hostage. We take it. But then what do we do when we take it? Peter gives it a little bit more colorful nature here. Take it captive. Now cast it. Cast it. When I think of that word cast, you know, in this 2023 generation, I think about webcasting. I think about casting my phone to a TV. Hitting a little button on YouTube and casting your mobile device or whatever the case may be. That's what I think about. But the principle is still the same. What is on this device, when you hit the cast button, it goes to another device. And what God is saying is, hit the cast button in your life so it doesn't any longer stay with you, but now it stays on me. Cast your cares, throw it. And it means to throw violently. And I would have us kind of make that throwing violently motion, but I don't want anybody to get a concussion in here and then somebody tries to sue our church because I had you doing something crazy in church. I'm not trying to do that. But here's what he's saying. He says, I want you to cast all your cares. I want you to throw them. It's the same language of casting a fishing line. Just as you throw the line out into the water to catch some fish. He says, I want you to throw those things that are on your mind. I want you to throw them to God. Those worries, throw them to God. Those stresses, throw them to God. Those difficulties, throw them to God. The things that are keeping you up at night, throw them to God. And he catches things perfectly. He's got good hands. He don't drop no passes. He don't fumble no passes. He doesn't blow a wide open dunk. LeBron, my gosh, my Lakers are struggling right now, but I'm not going to talk about that because that's neither here nor there. No, he does not fumble the bag. Whatever we throw to him, whatever we entrust to him, he is able to handle it. He is able to take care of it. He has power, his ability. He's awesome. He's incredible. He can handle it. So I like what Psalm 120 verse 1 says. It says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. In my distress, when I was stressed out, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Have you ever called somebody multiple times, and it went to voicemail, or you could tell that they hit the red button? So, y'all the ones that hit the red button when people call y'all. Y'all those people. Can I give you some words of encouragement? Whenever we call God, he always answers. Some of y'all kind of remember from back in the day, I know some of the young people, you're not familiar with this, but before we had mobile phones, before there was mobile phones, there was corded phones. How many of y'all know about corded phones? How many of y'all remember the phones where you had to do this? My grandmama had one of them phones. Be there all day. But how many of y'all also remember that if you were on the phone with somebody, before there was technology advancing phone calls, if you would call somebody and they were on the phone with somebody, you would hear, how many of y'all heard, y'all remember that? The busy sound. The busy, too busy to talk to you right now. Too busy to answer your call right now. Because they don't have the capacity to have a conversation with you and another person and another person and another person at the same time. I'm here to let you know that when you call on God, you don't get a busy signal. You don't get a distraction. No, you got a God that when you call on him in your time of distress, he will answer. He is always on time. He is always available. His hours are always open. Why? Because the Bible says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers, which lets us know that when we feel stressed and when we feel overwhelmed, we can always call on the name of our God. We can always reach out to him through prayer. We can always come to him desperate, in need of a miracle. We can always lean on him. Thank God that he's a God who doesn't give us the busy signal, but thank God that he is a God who always answers us. Come on, I know I'm talking to some of y'all in here that when you needed God to show up, you called on him and he answered you. He made a way out of no way. Come on, y'all talk back to me today. Some of y'all have called on God in some ugly moments, some dark moments where you thought about committing suicide. You thought about ending your life. You thought about quitting this and quitting that, but God showed up. He answered your call. He made ways out of no ways. He was there, and he responded. Because when we call on him, we got a promise that he will answer us. Why? Because of this. God cares about your stress because he cares about your life. He cares about what you're stressed about because he cares about your life. How do we know that, Pastor Edward? Because notice what Peter says here. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. So he cares about what's keeping you up at night. He cares about what's causing you to lose sleep. He cares about the thing that you care. He cares about it. I remember when we had, our kids, and we had our oldest Josiah first, and I remember sometimes kind of feeling anxious, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? And I remember God spoke to me one time and says, I care about your kids more than you do. I made them. They mine. And you know what that did? It settled my spirit. Because it helped me to recognize the pressure is not on me then. It's on him. He calls me to be faithful with them. He calls me to love them. He calls me to build them up. But ultimately, they're his kids. I'm helping some parents right now. Because you're thinking that it's all on you. Let me help you understand something. When you feel the weight of something, even as a parent, I want you to remind yourself, these are his kids. You struggling trying to figure out how we're going to make ends meet this month and how the kids going to eat. Now, these his kids. And the Bible says, I once was old, young, but now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. If God loves us and he loves them and he loves me, he going to take care of us. He going to look out for us. He got us. So rely on God's strategy. Give it to him. Stop thinking that it all depends on you. You know, I agree with the sentiment of it, but I wonder if it does more harm than good. But we've heard these sayings, you know, through culture that it's the man's job to provide. And I get the sentiment of that. But I think if we're not careful, we take that to an unhealthy place where we think that I'm supposed to be the source of the provision. But I'm not the source of provision. I'm just a man who's depending on the one who is the provider. So can I say it like this? Let me rephrase that. It's the man's job to depend on the one who is the provider. Because when I begin to assume something that I was not, now all by all means, what I'm not saying is that, okay, well, that means I don't work. That's not what I'm saying, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. What I'm saying is the weight is not on you, it's on God. And he says, trust in him. He's the provider. He's the source. For some of us who are single parents here, I know the struggle can be hard and the struggle can be real. Can I help you and encourage you today and let you know it's not really on you, it's on him. God's gonna make sure you got what you need to raise your child. For some of us in here who are maybe widowed, and some of us in here who are maybe divorced, and you're trying to figure out how I'm gonna make it through this season after everything that I've lost and everything I've gone through, I'm here to let you know God's got you. And he loves you. And he cares about you. And he's gonna provide for you. And he's going to protect you, and he's going to keep you. Cast all your cares on him. Last week, we talked about Philippians chapter 4. We heard the message where it says, bring all your prayers and petitions to God. So how do I cast my care on God? It means I take these things to him in prayer. I'm spending time seeking him. This is why we've been doing this month-long challenge of spending time in the Word for 10 minutes and only listening to Christian music. I'm not going to ask us how it's been going, but you got 10 more days, I think, so let's keep going. Let's finish strong. Why are we doing this? To remind us of the one who cares about us. To renew our minds. Because what culture tells us, and maybe what we've been brought up to think in our childhood and in our upbringing, is that it all depends on you. It doesn't. You play a role in it. But you're not the source of it. God is. And the times where I've been stressed the most, it's because I was trusting God the least. The times where I was stressed the most, it's because I was trusting God the least. And what God is saying is, hey, if you feel yourself feeling the pressure right now and under pressure, let me handle it. How about you get some sleep so I can stay up and work it out? It don't make sense for both of us to stay awake. You need sleep. I don't. He says, you need sleep. He don't need it. Sleep is for you, not him. He says, you can rest easy when you know that one cares about you and you can cast your cares on him. Cast it to him. Rely on his strategy. What is his strategy when stress comes? I'm going to give it to him. So let me give you a physical demonstration. You go to the mailbox, and you get a letter, and you get a bill, and it says, oh my gosh, this is astronomical in price and in quantity, and I don't have it. Take that. Take it to him. Take that. Give it to him. I think this is like a workout motion. I think they call this like chopping wood. This is it. He wants you need to live here. Y'all seen that movie Hitch when he was trying to give home dude dancing instructions? He's like, you stay here. This is where you stay. This is your zone. This is your zone. Don't do nothing crazy. You stay here. This is your zone right here. This is your zone right here. This is your zone right here. This is your zone. This is your zone. That's all it is. But here's what we do. We take it and then we start moving here. And we start going here. And then we start going here. And now we're stressed. And now we're anxious. And now we're, because you broke the flow. You're supposed to get it and then give it to him. Get it and then give it to him. But instead of getting it and giving it to him, you got it and you kept it. And now it's on your heart. And now it's on your mind. And now it's weighing you down. God says, cast the cares on me. That's the rhythm. That's the strategy. Give it to him. And this is a daily thing. This isn't just like a once in a week type of thing. No, because here's what's going to happen. Here's what Peter says next. Resist the devil. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Verse 8, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. But the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and establish and strengthen and support you after you have suffered a little while. What is Peter helping us to understand? Don't just rely on God's strategy. I want you to rely on God's strength. Trust in his strength now. So when you give it to him, trust that he will take care of it. Trust that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. And I love this because Peter says, resist the devil. Be sober-minded. Why is this so important? Because here's what I know. We're good right now in here. But the minute you step out these doors, the minute you turn off this stream, that's when it starts. It starts when you get home today. It starts when you get to work tomorrow. It starts, young person, when you go to school tomorrow. It starts as you go throughout the course of your week. It starts when you pull up to work tomorrow. It starts when you pick up the phone. It starts when you look at the text message. It starts when you get the email. And in that moment, I want you to be reminded that, yes, the enemy is trying to oppose you and bring you all these different problems and pressures, but you got a God who has strength that you can stand on, that you can rely on, that you can lean on. Rely on his strength, not yours. The only way you and I can stand against the devil and stand against the enemy is on God's strength, not ours. So he says, be sober-minded, be alert, because the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's looking. He's looking. But God is saying, trust in my strength. Lean on me. Listen to me. Listen, listen, Linda, listen. Listen, listen. Lean on his strength. Trust in his strength. How do we stand against the enemy's attacks when we're being hit with difficulties and we're being hit with troubles? This light comes on in the car and this body part start hurting and this bill begins to show up and this phone begins to break down and this person says they don't like me. How do we deal with this? We stand on the word of God. We stand on the power of God. We stand on the strength of God. It means that I rely on God's strength, which means that I don't have to live under this pressure of trying to work out whatever I'm stressed about. I want you to write this down. Watch this. When we surrender our stress to God, it positions us to experience the strength of God. When we surrender our stress to God, it positions us to experience the strength of God. Here's what Psalm 55, verse 22 says. Cast your burden on the Lord. Doesn't that sound familiar to 1 Peter 5? Cast your burden on the Lord. And what will he do? Sustain you. He'll sustain you. And he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast it, and he'll sustain you. The Apostle Paul kind of has something. He would amen this in such of a way when he begins to write to believers, the Corinthians, in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Here's what he says as he and his companions were under enormous amounts of pressure. He says, we don't want y'all to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. You know what he's saying? Your boy was stressed. We were losing it. And notice what he says next. far beyond our ability to endure. Y'all have heard the saying, God won't give you more than you can bear. That is not entirely accurate, because there's going to be plenty of things that you and I face that in our own strength we can't handle. Because if we could handle them, we wouldn't need Jesus. And notice what he says. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability. It was more than we could bear. So that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, watch this, verse 9. We felt we had received the sentence of death. But watch what he says next. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I love this verse. I can shout right here. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. I love the fact that Paul has a sanctified confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says it was too much for us. The stress began to overwhelm us. The pressure began to build up, and we quickly recognized we couldn't make it on our own. But this happened so we wouldn't rely on ourselves. This happened so we would rely on God, the one who is able to raise the dead, the one who is able to open up blinded eyes, the one who is able to heal sick bodies, the one who is able to make two fish and five loaves of bread, feed 5,000 plus people. That happened so we would rely on him. And he says, and he delivered us before, and he gonna do it again. Do it again. He gonna do it again. And from where I'm from, we don't say he's going to do it again. He gonna do it again. He going to do it again. Matter of fact, some of y'all, that's the word for some of you guys this week. Because you've been wondering, how am I going to make it? Can I ask you a question? Didn't you say that last time? Didn't you say last time, how am I going to make it through this situation? But didn't God show up? Didn't God make a way out of no way? Didn't God minister? Didn't God help you? Didn't God provide? If he did it before, he'd do it again. And many of us are suffering because of stress right now. But I'm here to tell you that God will help you in the midst of it. If you will rely on the strength of God, you'll have more peace. If you rely on the strength of God, you'll have more joy. If you rely on the strength of God, you'll have more clarity. Can I encourage some of you all today? If you're stressed about the future, I want you to know that you can trust God, that he will work all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you're stressed about your children, trust that God will cover them. If you're stressed about your finances, trust that God will provide. If you're stressed about your health, trust the great physician, the one who is able to heal cancer, the one who is able to heal sickness. Trust in his strength. Because whatever you're stressed about, God is able to work it out. And let me say this prophetically. Whatever you're stressed about, God has already worked it out. Because he is the beginning and the end. He sees the end from the beginning. He stands outside of time. He is the immutable one. He is the one who does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can trust in his strength. Because he will carry you through. Because he's done it before, he'll do it again. So the thing that you and I are stressed about, I want to close with this. The good news about this passage is that it's not just a promise and an assurance, but it's a promise and it's an assurance that's built on something that was already practiced by someone. And it wasn't just Peter. Peter's speaking probably from his own experience as well. Paul talked about from his own experience. But I want to let us know, family, that we got an even greater example of somebody who faced enormous amounts of stress that you can even imagine. He faced stress when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to God the Father before he would go to the cross. And it was so weighing on his mind and in his body. And the Bible begins to say that he began to sweat droplets of blood. I don't know if you've ever been under that type of stress where you begin to sweat blood. Where he began to sweat droplets of blood. The Lord Jesus was there and he was under so much distress and he was under so much pressure that he even asked God the Father, if there is a way to not go through this, I would love that. But then he says, but not my will, let yours be done. What is he doing? He's casting these things on God the Father. He's trusting God the Father. He's believing in the plan of God, the plan that he and the Father and the Spirit has set up from eternity past. past and eternity future. He's believing and he's trusting. He's relying and he's casting his care. And what does that enable him to do? The Bible says that angels came and strengthened Jesus in the book of Luke while he was praying this prayer of confession and praying this prayer, asking God the Father to strengthen him. The angels strengthen him, and he goes to the cross and he suffers on the cross and he bleeds on the cross and he's tortured on the cross and he's ridiculed on the cross and he's mocked on the cross. Why? For your sins. Why? For the sins of the world. Why? For my sin. And he went to the tomb and he stayed there one day and he stayed there another day. But early on Sunday morning, he rises with all power in his hands. Why? Because he is the God who has all power. Resurrection power. He's the one who felt stressed and overwhelmed in one moment, but he had the power of the Holy Spirit at work in him and through him. I love the fact that our Lord Jesus is our ultimate example, that when pressure comes and when stress comes, to trust in God, to lean on God, to rely on God. I don't have to rely on myself. I don't have to lean on myself. I can give it to him in prayer. I give it to him in faith. I rely on him to work it out. I want to encourage you to let you know that this battle does not belong to you. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And it's not going to come by power. It's not going to come by might, but it's going to come by the power of his Holy Spirit. It means that you and I don't have to lean on ourselves any longer. And verse 10 says it like this, back in 1 Peter 5, the God of all grace. Not just some grace, all grace. Grace for every situation, grace for every stress. What will he do? The one who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. Can I give y'all a word of encouragement? I know that there's many things in here right now. There's many things in your head. But I want to encourage you that all those things that are in your head are already in God's hands. That the things that are here, God says he has dominion over these things. And he is able to do something about all these things. Which means this. I choose what I'm going to stress out about now. I don't have to stress any longer. I don't have to worry. Why? Because if it's in his hands, that means he can fix it. He can heal it. He can provide it. He can bless it. He can work it out. I don't have to stress out because Jesus carried my stress on his mind, on his body, to the cross, to the grave, and he came out with all power. And because he has all power, I'm not stressing over things any longer. That is the word for many of us here today in person and online, that no longer do you have to stress out any longer. You don't have to stress any longer. You don't have to stress any longer. You don't have to stress any longer, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. Many of you are here today, and you came in here stressed. Can I speak over you this word that we see here? To cast our cares on him, because he cares about us. All of us in here are stressed about something. But I'm here to let you know, it doesn't have to stay with you any longer. Give it to him. Give it to him. Trust in him. I believe that the solution to some of you all's problems, health issues, go to the doctor, do all that. I believe there's wisdom in that. Do that. But I believe that the solution to many of our problems is not medical. It's spiritual. Remember what we talked about in week 1, winning the war in your mind. That
the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's spiritual things that are manifesting themselves in the natural. So there's physical measures that we need to take. But in us taking physical measures, let us not bypass the spiritual. There are some spiritual things that are at work that God says, if you would trust me and entrust what is on your heart and on your mind, if you would give it to me, watch how your health will begin to change. Watch how relationships begin to change. Watch how peace will begin to flow in your life like a river. Watch how you get your joy back. Watch how your smile begins to come back. Why? Because the burden of proof is no longer on your shoulders. It is on the shoulders of the one who carried your sins to the cross, and his name is Jesus Christ. The burden is no longer on you. It's on the Lord. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Trust in him. And I know that many of us in here got different things that are going on. I don't know everything that we have. But what I do know is that he is the God of all grace. And I know that his grace is sufficient no matter what it is that you're stressing about. That in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And I want to encourage you and invite you today to trust in him. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. We're getting ready to be dismissed and go in a moment and close out. But if you're here this morning, I got two calls. This is the first call. If you're here this morning, I want you to know that you cannot do this on your own. You need Jesus. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You need Jesus to reconcile you back to God the Father. And he does that through his blood. He does that through the cross. He does it through his resurrection. You need Jesus to not just save you from your sin, but to free you from your stress. And you can't do it without him. And some of you have been trying to do this on your own without him, meaning that you don't have a relationship with him. But this morning, I want to invite you, this afternoon, I want to invite you to take that step of faith and to trust in Jesus, to give him your life today. If this is you, my head's about and eyes are closed, and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to give my life to Christ today. I've been trying to do this on my own. I need Jesus. I may not understand everything about the Bible. I may not understand everything about Scripture, but I understand I need a Savior. I understand I need a help. I need somebody to do this for me. If this is you, you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Would you save me from my sin? Would you be my Lord? Be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who have said yes to Christ today? Come on. Those who are beginning new journeys with Christ.